Welcome to another episode of Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for players and game masters to design perfect characters through imperfection. We cover all forms of game design, from interesting and engaging backstory creation to campaign and NPC development. Enjoy, remember to play what you love, and may your characters do something epic. Welcome to Rolling Imperfection, the podcast for role players and GMs for story-driven campaigns. I'm Steve.
And I'm Kevin. And we're back. Steve, what season is it?
I forget what season. Six?
Six.
It is
Holy
six?
Shit,
okay.
Man.
I was like, wait a minute. I don't know if I had that ready in my head. I think it's six, but maybe I'm wrong.
We are 2.5 years into this endeavor.
Oh my God.
I know, right? Now, I know to the listener, because our podcast has come out actually weekly for 2.5 years. Another thing, listener, consistently. I have no idea how that happened. I would have sworn by now we would miss a week.
We just get lucky, knock on wood, that like whenever we, you know, develop a backlog, you know, one of us gets super sick or whatever, we use it
and wipes out our backlog
and then it wipes
us
it out,
to go
yeah.
to stress recording again. No, I don't think we've ever. Even the one we did right before it release, which was, spoilers, a couple episodes ago, the closest we've ever come to missing an episode. Even that one, we weren't, like, really crushed, I don't think. Or at least I wasn't.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we've had close calls, like, well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a close call, but we've had, like, our extra episodes that we've done and edited in a very short time span. But those weren't really, like, episodes that are, you know, required. I mean, none of it's required to come out, but... Consistency-wise, you know, like, we've had stuff, like, come really close like that, but, yeah, I don't know. It's just, we've been consistent for 2.5 years. Yay.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to say about that, but, yeah.
I think it's something to celebrate.
No, it is. It's difficult. I mean, hell, I haven't even done that at my job. I've called out sick my job.
Yeah, no kidding. I intentionally did a few last time.
Oh, just a day off for yourself, you mean?
Yeah, for me, for the students, I feel like, you know, because with my job, it is giving a little bit, a lot of the time.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't care how much I like the teacher. It's nice to go into class and then find out that you don't have to go. I mean, unless you have a long commute or, you know, if the teacher just like tells you like, hey, I'm not feeling great. Don't come in today. It's like. Right.
Oh, go into class. I'm not a monster. I emailed the night before every day I took off.
I just mean sometimes you get the letter on the door because you didn't get check your email, whatever. Yeah.
I usually try to send email every way I can. So that's usually like 2 to 3 different ways. But yeah, I guess there are still some. So, but yeah, we're here. We're back. We have. A topic that we've touched on for sure, but I definitely wanted to kind of focus in on it because I think it's tough. I think it's a tough challenge to run a one shot or one off or a one part story or a filler game. I'm trying to think of other names for these.
One of my players didn't show up and we kind of got everybody together. We don't have anything else to do. So we're going to all of a sudden come up with a game on the spot just to entertain ourselves for one day until our other player comes back.
Exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
I like one shots, but I'm definitely more of a novelist than a short story writer.
I was going to say, yeah. So like that's our joke that we have with you. You're just like, it's going to be like 3 sessions. We're like, got it. 12.
Hey, I got nothing. I got.
Yeah, okay. I got nothing. I was like, really? Where is he going to go with this? You know, argue
my
that
only,
fact?
My only retort is that I have successfully done one shots and one offs before.
True. Yeah. It's just that usually it ends up being longer than you anticipate if you were planning even just like a couple episodes. It's like, well, it's not guaranteed to be one anymore. So, I mean, what's the problem with it being like 7 extra?
I mean,
people usually complain, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, and I usually cheat. Like, technically, every episode of Mouse Guard I've ever run functionally was a one-off. But I've run like 3 or 4 and they're all connected. So, yeah. And that's okay too. Honestly, that's the way I contain myself a lot of the time. I'm like, okay, I'm planning and I have all these other thoughts and I'm like, other thoughts be gone. What's with me? I think every episode now I've said something and I'm like, that's way dirtier than I meant to sound. Anyway. be gone, thoughts. I save them, you know. I'm like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe some other time, maybe when I have time. And so that's kind of the opposite of the impulse I usually go with my more episodic planning, where I usually try to generally be like, okay, I want to do this. Let's do it. Which doesn't always work. I've had something I've been meaning to do. We're actually doing one of the things I've been meaning to do for like 3 episodes, hopefully next time in one of my games. But yeah, it's, in my opinion, a different mode of thinking, because you're not able to just go, oh, well, I'll fix it later. You have to kind of be like, all right, we got to keep everything moving. I've got to make sure that the hooks come really fast and really consistently, and I don't let the players get bogged down in, honestly, much of anything, you know?
Yeah. It's also like a balance of like what you want to have happen. And like, sometimes you're just like, okay, I can totally do these 5 things in this one-shot episode, but when, you know, like it actually comes to reality, you're not factoring in like players lingering on things and, you know, like one thing leading into another, or like confusion on one thing. And, you know, you're like, oh, the players will understand this, and they go a completely different direction and do another side plot or whatever. So sometimes it's just like understanding that you sometimes need to go with less and then actually like improvise more to fill in the gaps if there's not enough room. So that you don't just like overload it and turn it into a, you know, a 3 or 4 episode thing. So, yeah. Which is hard to do. It's like you want to do all the cool things, and it's really hard to just be like, ah, man, I can't do this one or that one. I really just got to focus on these like 2 or 3 things instead. They're more important.
Scale it back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult.
Yeah. I did actually, and we'll come back to all this fun planning stuff. I did actually want to start on the player side, which admittedly is kind of me conjecturing, because I don't ever think I've actually been in a one-off as a player.
You have.
I have? Wait, when?
We talked about it not long ago, GMXs.
That wasn't a one-off. That ended up being a two-off.
Oh,
we
did
never
it?
Finished that game. It did, yeah, we never finished. That game is still unfinished.
Oh, okay. I thought we escaped the zombies. Yay. Or maybe I'm wrong.
No. We lost some people. We're in a really dramatic point. It ended, and we never played with him again. He ended on a high note.
Okay. I must have just, like, completed it in my head then.
However, yes, you're right. I guess I did technically create a character for that, though the character was me, which is honestly a pretty good idea. I mean, one of my key one-offs that I've done is my Marvel game, where it's not my players so much coming up with these, like, full-on characters. It's my players doing takes on their favorite, or doesn't have to be their favorite. It could just be a Marvel character they find interesting. So I think the based on something or just a reflection of you, I think those are great for a one-off, because you don't have a ton of time, right? It's a one-off. Oftentimes you're sitting down, making characters and running a game, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to like get bogged down in going like, well, okay, my character is, you know, into this like one hobby, so I need to make sure I incorporate that into like the spells or items that they pick, and that like conflicts with this other thing that I wanted to do, and I don't have enough points to do this. And you're like trying to do all this balancing like you normally do when you're building a character for a long campaign. You don't have time for that. You kind of just gotta like pick a couple things and go.
Yeah. And honestly, even if you're not doing something based on an existing property, basing your character on an existing property to take some shortcuts works.
Yeah.
Not going to poo-poo it here. For a one-off, these things are quick. These things are sometimes dirty. Gotta go with what you gotta go with, right?
Yep.
So with a character, usually, as I've said in past 101s, I think the opposite. I think a character should have personality, likes, dislikes, moods, etc., but generally probably only have like one actual problem, And it's probably going to be something that is more basic, right?
The bully really wants to kick their ass. They're trying to hide before he finds them because he did something to him not long ago.
Yeah, that works perfectly.
Yeah, it's simple. It's kind of direct to the point. It gives the GM something to work with, either to corral you to a certain place or to make you feel a certain way. And it also gives them like a character they can kind of play with while not being super convoluted and just like, I come from a vast, you know, like lineage of mages who specifically do time magic and mess with time dilation and you know, like okay, yes. Whoa, hold your horses there.
Exactly. I also think players should be prepared for the GM to quickly modify some stuff with their permission. You know, maybe they want to combine that bully character into another character's, maybe not even a bully. Maybe they're like, okay, this bully character is actually going to be the older sister of this other character to go with our thing. And then, you know, you would work that out and then kind of have the players talk through it, maybe just a little bit. Once again, not super huge, but the little pulls where you can. It's your GM trying to simplify, trying to make sure that everything's going to fit in, let's be real here, 4 to 10 hours.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
I always, whenever I'm doing a one-off, I'm like, all right, everyone's going to get here in the AM. We're going to do character creation. We're going to eat lunch. We're going to play the game. The game's going to take the afternoon and evening. Just because I know me and I know I'm going to tend for long and I got to pull that back. I got to rope it in, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's generally pretty good outlines for players. I think players should bring something that they're excited about, but maybe not completely attached to, or if they want to like trial run a character, because usually the GM will be like, oh, you know, if there's levels in the game, you might be at a higher level. If there's just stats, they'll probably won't start you at like low stats, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good time for trial runs as well. It's a good time to go, huh, I don't usually play this. Maybe I should try out a warlock and see how they go.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Actually,
I would never try a warlock. Sorry.
Well, there goes that attempt at understanding and trial.
Bridge burnt.
But that is like something to like be conscious of, is that like when you're picking out like your character that you like want to build like stat wise and stuff like that, like don't be too frugal on, you know, or don't be too frugal. I mean, don't be too like caught up on like picking out your stats and skills and choices and stuff like that. Like just like pick it and like move on, because like generally if you're doing a one shot, it's not often that it's planned ahead of time. I feel like I'm like the ones that you've done, they've been planned ahead of time, but you don't always have that luxury. If you do have planning ahead of time, then you can make something. But the more involved you are in like the creation process of like stats and building up their, you know, like their skill characteristics to the flavor of the character, then the more attached you are and the more you're just going to be like, can we do like 5 more sessions? You know, you're going to get too attached to them. So you need something that you aren't going to like, just like latch onto. So just, you know, pick up something that's like, well, I've never done a barbarian. So, hey, why don't I just play a barbarian and just be like, hit rock. You know, if you want to play that, just go for it. You know, just like pick up something that sounds interesting, at least mildly interesting, and then just do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also think it's good for some really quick trope subversions if you want to. Like you could have the barbarian who's like really into like reading and like science.
Oh, like beast. Just be like beast.
Exactly. And you know, it's also pretty good for like wacky characters, as long as you're not too trying to like pull against, because once again, this is a one-off. Your GM really doesn't want a character who's gonna like peace out, and so they have to deal with like everyone apart. They're gonna be trying to keep you together. They're gonna be trying to corral the team in however they can, you know. and it's going to be a little more forceful. So, yeah. And I've done this in a couple of ways. In my mouse guard game, it's, well, you're all on a team. You're all doing a job. You're all mouse guard. So you're going on a mission to over there, and you're coming back. Cool. The other way I've done this is with my Marvel games, where everyone is a different version of a Marvel hero, and I'll get more into depth with this because this is my example later. But I get them all together, and the function of my games has essentially been, you've all been sucked out of your reality into a new dimension, and you have to figure out why. Spoiler alert. I've done this once, and I'm doing it again, mostly to pull them into my favorite sections of Marvel history to have some fun and play around, because I have my own fun. And I think it's cool. And I have, like, I've had kind of an overarching story planned for these, but Steve has no idea because it didn't involve in the first one-off, and it probably won't be involved in the second one-off either. I may throw some hints, but it's going to be subtle, mostly for me.
Oh,
so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that encourages them, right? Hey, we're all in the same situation. We got to stick together. And putting everyone in the same situation is something you're just going to have to be ready for as a player.
Yeah. I think that also goes along with, like, how you play your character as a player in a one shot, is that you want to have them be proactive. Like, we've talked about being a proactive player before. But you want your character to be, you know, the friendly type that's going to, like, you know, worry about their friends. You want them to be curious, and you want them to, like, be driven to do whatever the overall task is. But you probably know, at least vaguely at a time, like, for Marvel game, we know that, you know, we're heroes. So we all have, you know, that aspect. Like, some of us may be standoffish compared to others, but, like, we all have similar goals, so it's very easy to just, like, latch onto the plot and then, like, move along with it. That helps the GM out a lot.
So much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One thing I do want to point out, and I don't think he did it terribly when GMX did his quote-unquote one-shot zombie game. But
his best
it was,
game.
Yeah, his best game. But
and I mean that sincerely, listener, by the way. It was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Legitimately
no,
the most fun we ever had.
Yeah, no, we actually had fun with that one.
Yeah, we actually had fun. Yeah.
The other ones was no fun, but that one was fun. But, like, there was one thing that, like, at the, like, while he was doing it, I was kind of like, I don't, like, that's just kind of weird. And I don't really recommend it for a one shot unless you're doing, like, a pre-made campaign, like, from a book or something like that. Then maybe it makes sense. And that's, like, as a GM, building the character options and then be like, you guys have to pick from this allotment of characters. Even if it's a like short campaign that's a one shot, I don't really like that. That's very scripted and it just feels, I don't know, like just taking like all the choice out of it just feels bad. So
yeah. Can I throw in a wrinkle?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that could be fine if the players are pre-warned about it, or you're planning on having them be essentially their minds put in like fantasy characters. So like they wake up, and I've run a game on this. I ran.
Oh yeah.
It's called Burrito Land.
Yep.
They're waking up in those, and it's just going to be a one-off to figure out, you know, why are we here? How do we get out of this? So yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fine. It's just that, like, I mean, he didn't do that either. GMX didn't like make characters for us, but he's like, you're playing yourself. And then he sat down, and I remember when he was like, okay, what are your stats? And we were using World of Darkness. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm me, so here are my stats. He's like, oh, okay. I thought I was going to have to like argue with you on these. Like, you actually like made legitimately like what I think your stats should be. And it's like, you would have argued with me if I chose different. Like,
I do remember that. I remember that, and I remember him being a real asshole about some of the stats.
I mean, he's always been that way about stats and stuff like that, and like choices, and like, oh no, you can't have like all these things. That's too much items. That's too much skills, and all this other stuff. Like, you have too many choices. You can't have choices.
Oh, he hated any additional books
Anyway, I forgot about that.
Anyway, yeah. No, you cannot use anything outside of the core book.
Yeah, he wouldn't let us use
We're
the
tired
player's handbook
of the core
too.
Book. Yeah.
It's like, what? Anyway. So I just thought that, you know, you should be careful, I guess, when doing something like that. Like, it makes sense, like what you said, like if you're doing a, like your mind is transporting into the body of someone else, it's like, well, here are your choices, because in that type of situation you wouldn't get a choice in building your own character.
I probably still would, without telling them the conceit of the game, would probably be like, okay, I have created these characters, like which ones look good, and I'd probably still give my players some choice in what they were selecting, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, for your Marvel game, you actually gave us like you had like the stats already made for the characters, so I think it came from like a pre-built list.
Yeah, but that I asked before, and then I did a little bit of rebalancing, and I had to make some new characters.
But you also basically gave us like free reign to like pick like whatever we wanted. So it wasn't like we were limited to like, okay, well there's three of you and I have six characters you can pick from, from something. It was like, okay, they're all pre-built, but, you know, you get to be, you know, one of, like, what, like, 400, 500 heroes?
I sent him a website for the 80s Marvel face rip system. There's a website, Marvel has DC, and basically was like, go nuts, and if one of them's not on there, we can figure it out.
Request... So there was a lot of flexibility in it.
Yeah, I did request that you all be heroes, or if you wanted to be a villain, that your character is a villain in the main Marvel universe, but a hero in your dimension. So, like, Trong picked the infamous Iron Man, which is a Doctor Doom, but at a period in his history where he's trying to be a good guy. So, that was fine. And created some tension with everyone else who was like, isn't that Doctor Doom? Why is he wearing an Iron Man suit? This is weird, right?
And I got to be oblivious because I was Darkhawk, and he just kind of does his own thing. I don't think he even knows who Dr. Doom is.
He knows who Dr. Doom is. He's met Spider-Man. Yeah.
Well, I know he's interacted with Spider-Man. I don't know if he's ever fought Dr. Doom that I can recall.
I don't know that he's fought Dr. Doom, but everyone in the Marvel Universe knows who Dr. Doom is.
Oh, okay.
He's taken over the world like three times.
Apparently not good enough to keep it.
Look, your ego gets in the way. There are annoying heroes. You forget one person who's in suspended animation, and suddenly you don't rule the world anymore, all right?
Okay.
Spoilers for the Emperor Doom storyline. It's not spoilers. That happens at the very start of the graphic novel. Great storyline, though. Recommended. And not God Emperor Doom, though that is also a good storyline. So I recommend both. I don't know why I interjected. Anyway.
No problem.
So GMs. You're gonna have to be a little bit more of an iron-fisted tyrant, like not totally, but you are gonna have to do some wrangling, and you are gonna have to be ready to make those hooks like possibly literal punch in the faces, you know,
or lassos.
I do like lasso. Ooh, or those stage crooks. Oh man, I gotta. gotta file that one away. Did that person just get dragged off by a stage crook from that alley? Yes. Magical stage crook. Anyway, sorry. Sometimes I get distracted by stupid ideas. So, GMs, you're dealing with very limited plots. Once again, Mouse Guard, literally, hey, I think it was like, go get supplies, or go check on this outpost before a weather event, or guard this person, or go get that thing and bring it back. Like, those level of things. And then with Mouse Guard, you essentially picked three enemies, maybe four enemies, a couple of tiny ones, a medium-sized one, and a fucking owl. Okay, not always a fucking owl. In fact, probably not an owl until your third or fourth one shot. But like a fox or... I think I had a fox, a snake. I can't remember my other one. Maybe another type of bird. I don't think I've actually sent an owl. Because as we've discussed in previous games, they're ridiculously powerful. They're probably the strongest thing. Maybe a hawk. That does sound right.
Yeah. I was like, I can't remember because, like, me basically taking out the fox alone.
Yeah.
Essentially was, like, the highlight of that campaign for me. So I don't really remember the others all that well. But like, yeah, you definitely didn't send an owl after us. I mean, it was probably like a hawk or some other, you know, small bird of prey.
Yeah. And I think extermination can work well, right? It's sizing this up to like Pathfinder or something. It would be like, oh, you need to go, you need to kill this Yeti and then come back, right? This thing has been terrorizing. Go, kill it, come back. Cool. Couple other beats along the way. That's all you need. Then, once you get your characters, you tie them in as best as you can. You combine. I would say even put placeholder villains and characters to just slot them in. Throwing them in from whatever character stuff you can get. Throwing them in and going. This is more old school than the usual thing. It's still story driven, right? Because you're still incorporating the character's story and trying to have an overall thing and trying to kind of play off that one beat they really wanted to put in. But you got to limit it. You got to have it limited. 1 to 2 big focuses. That's all you need. If you need to throw any other minor focuses, have them on the back burner. If you don't get to them, save them for the next one shot. That's how they roll, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, a good, like, idea that came to mind when you were discussing all this is, like, thinking of a movie, like, a heist movie of some sort, you know, like Ocean's 11 or, you know, like, some sort of, like, dinner party, like, either assassination or theft. It doesn't have to be, you know, obviously, like, all those, like, heists are, like, essentially being thieves, but it doesn't have to be that. But, you know, that type of, like, premise gets you the idea is that you have the main goal and then you have, like, a couple of, like, hiccups along the way that are, like, expected and planned. But overall, it's a movie and it gets wrapped up really quickly. And I know you've done single episodes in longer campaigns that are essentially very similar to that. And that's a very, like, good premise to just, like, start with, at least in your mind on, like, how to build, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. Because with Ocean's 11, it's gather the gang, get your equipment, which has some foibles to it, and then go and do the heist, which has a couple foibles to it. Good three acts. Works really well. You can have some fun. And then, go for it. I think that's great advice. I also think that it's great for testing stuff, like especially testing like higher concept stuff like time travel. If you don't want to mess with like your big world, just make it small. Make it contained.
It can also be a good way to feel out like players that are new to your group that you're not familiar with and how they'll do with stuff like time or like high concepts.
I do kind of wish that I had done that with a couple of my games, but that's all right. I do think it's also good if you want to do some like, let's say, you know, a person's going to be missing, but you're like, oh, I really want to do this other thing. It can be good for like fleshing out worlds, you know?
Uh-huh.
So like, I mentioned we just got through December and in addition to watching holiday movies, which aren't my favorite thing, though I do watch some and I do like more than I'm willing to admit. I should wait for season seven, top 10 holiday movies coming. I don't know. I'm never going to remember that all year. So, anyway, I also watch Westerns and I was like, oh man, I really want to do a one-off Western in my big Noirverse world with one-off characters that I can then bring in and integrate into kind of the main story. Cause my current game in that, when I restart it, is in the 1890s. And that's like the kind of end of like the West period, but I do think it'd be cool. So yeah.
Yeah, that could be interesting, which actually made me think about just like, I mean, it kind of goes back to players again briefly, but don't be afraid to have a character that, you know, like might meet their end. If you're doing like a one shot, like you could still play like majority of the game and then have the character die. And then you're only looking at, you know, like maybe an hour or two. Hopefully you don't do something stupid like right at the start, but
exactly.
You could play those like characters who are like on the edge if you really want to, and it's not going to feel as bad as if you do it in like an actual campaign. So
exactly, especially if you want to have like a really cool scenario,
and maybe Western. Then
and then maybe you have take over a side character. So Yeah. So I did want to kind of talk about a big example, and I didn't want to use MouseGuard. I've talked about MouseGuard in past episodes many times, I want to say. One of our big ones was episode 38, for low prep, more play options, which I'm kind of tentative. I think 38 should be fine. I think we had our shit down by then.
Always
hesitant
good.
With episodes from a long time ago. But yeah. So I did want to look at just kind of what I do with my Marvel game, because I don't know that it's always like super straightforward. You know, I can give all these tips. I can recommend stuff. I can say, you know, integrate this with the usual planning of a game, but still pretty abstract, right?
Yeah.
So my Marvel game, which I plan for much longer than the game takes, which is kind of funny for me, but so I picked a system, right? I'm actually hopefully switching systems. We'll see. The new Marvel system, which I think comes out with a finalized version this year. It's interesting. So that's going to be one hurdle. I also let my players know kind of what's going on well before. And I kind of like to hear about, you know, who's interested in doing what and what are we going to do? And that might even change, because I think when I first suggested it, people were like picking some other stuff, but I resuggested it and everyone changed their mind, and that's fine, right? I don't know, Steve, do you still remember what you suggested last to me?
For my character? Oh, yes, I remember.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I remember. Do you want me to say it? Or okay, sure?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to pick Carnage. I can't remember what the series is called, but it's like where like Carnage is like going through hell or something, isn't he? But he's like more of like a heroic character.
No, it's
like,
from...
What was it again? I haven't read the source material. I just remember you guys talking about it and that sounded interesting. And I like visually, I think Carnage looks cool. I know that like, you know, story-wise, he generally isn't, but you guys were talking about he has like one cool story. I was like, maybe I'll just do that.
Yeah, that is from a section that admittedly the main event itself isn't that great. And I'm blanking on it right now. Oh, Axis. It was Axis. So the main Axis event wasn't that great. It's an event from a few years ago, but it did create some like interesting offshoots where the idea was through dumb stuff, several characters got their personalities inverted. So Iron Man became evil, Carnage and Hobgoblin became good, and other characters had that happen too. I just can't remember because it doesn't matter. which led to the infamous Iron Man story, it was the superior Iron Man storyline, which is really good. And a Carnage storyline that I think was much like many of Carnage's things, just called Carnage.
Okay.
But where he was good. So, yeah, it's fine. This is what our listeners tune in for. Deep dives into Marvel lore. So, yeah, it's good. And I can work with it. I've actually already begun planning it in. Same with Trong wanting to be a Doombot. Admittedly, I have more ideas for the Doombot, no offense, but it's fine.
I mean,
trust
it's
me, you'll...
Doom. He knows how to pick his favorite again and pick one of your favorites.
But a different version.
I'm going to be a different version of Doom.
But it's more interesting than... Okay, Infamous Iron Man is really good.
I'm sure it is. I'm just saying. It's like he's picking a Doom thing again.
Doom
like
is
I was
best.
A Spider-Man before, but now I'm a different Spider-Man, but I'm still a Spider-Man.
Well, you know, sometimes you want to be a different Spider-Man.
Okay. You want to be from 2040 instead of the regular old Peter Parker. Got it.
Look. You want to be from 2099. Thank you.
Oh, is it? It's 2099. My bad.
It's 2099.
Bad. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Bubblegum Crisis.
You are thinking Bubblegum Crisis. Yeah. Look, sometimes you want to be Ben Reilly. No, I'm joking. No one wants to be Ben Reilly. Come at me, Ben Reilly fans.
We're only 17 years away from hard suits. I'm down.
Yeah, very true. So I kind of, had ideas going in. For my first Marvel game, I had one of my friends playing an 80s version of Thor, which is like the classic verily the thou Thor, who's really strong and pretty nice, down for a brawl, but not like, not a mean guy. He's a dancer. Yeah. Spider-Verse had just come out. So one of my friends, friend K, wanted to be the Spider Penny Parker from the Spider-Verse movie, specifically not the Ava related one from the comic. That's fine. I just let her do that. She loves doing that. Steve was Darkhawk, but not Darkhawk from Dystopia, which ended up not mattering as much as I wanted it to. I think I've like tried to interlink one thing and it didn't really work. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. No, it wasn't just Dystopia Darkhawk. It was Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Cyberpunk Darkhawk, Dystopia yeah. Darkhawk. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the infamous Iron Man Doom in an Iron Man suit trying to be a good guy. Still wearing the Doom cloak. That's how you could tell. So, yeah.
Some habits you just can't get rid of, I guess.
True. And I brought them all together and they were stuck in the past. And so basically, I flavored it with Songs of the Time, but I pretty much had mapped out here. You're in Marvel Manhattan in 1980, sometime between 1984 and 1986. and I had already mapped out what was going on. I actually brought a bunch of comics with like bookmarks in them. And so they were like trying to figure out what was happening. They figured out that they wanted to like, I think they went to the Baxter Building, which was in space at the time, which was pretty fun. I had a newspaper made up with like hints to like, hooks to draw them around. They ended up fighting the time traveling Sentinel Nimrod, which was from an episode from an issue of X-Men. That was pretty cool. And eventually I kind of wrangled them all together and they found out that the one villain who'd brought them all there was the superior Iron Man, the evil Iron Man from the event that I mentioned with Steve. And he had been shunted there due to some bullshit, due to the latest Secret Wars event, if you're a Marvel fan. I'm not going to explain all of this. Go to Marvel Wikis or watch some YouTube if you're really interested. And they went there and they were like, okay, we got to beat this guy. And they did. And that was it. Like literally went there, interacted with the past, did some fun past plot hooks, beat the bad guy, went home. That's it. One episode, self-contained, took me 6 or 7 hours, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we actually did quite a bit in it, as I recall. Like, there was a lot to do, but not all of it was, like, required to do. So, I want to say, like a year later, I could have swore that we did like 2 or 3 sessions of it because it felt like we did a lot.
Yeah. And they did a lot. It just was right after another. And I didn't spend time like they were all fairly mobile, right? Thor can fly. Spider can spin around. Darkhawk can fly. Infamous Iron Man can fly. And spoilers, I think I'm forgetting someone because Nick was playing and I cannot for the life of me remember which character Nick was playing.
Oh, I don't remember at all either.
I feel the most bad because I don't remember him having a lot of effect on the plot, but that's okay, I guess. Don't do that. That's bad. That was bad on me, GM. But like, that's it. That's what I mean. And this is like, so what I planned was checked out what people wanted to go. Well, no, first I had the idea. I'm like, okay, want to do a time travel story to time travel to my favorite spot. Want to pull a villain from a storyline I like and I think is cool and have him be there for reasons. Have everyone else get drawn in. They found out they got drawn in by him running a failed test to get back that drew them in. I don't know if you remembered that, Steve.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that was the reason they were there. And then I pulled a map of Marvel Manhattan from the 80s and marked a bunch of points on it, points of interest. And then I made up a newspaper with plot hooks. And then I made a playlist. And then I started the characters and then I ran the game. So those were my steps. Like, yeah. And I have to say, those are steps I would probably do just for one episode as well. I mean, I just recently made a mall map for my Kids on Bikes game, which we didn't end up really using that much last time, but oh man, we're going to use it next time. Uh-oh. So, yeah.
I did want to bring about one point that you actually made me think about is number of players for a one shot.
Ooh, is, true.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to go with like two or three or whatnot, but I feel like five is like pushing it unless you're going to go with like a longer session, like a 6 to 8 hour session.
I agree. I'd cap it at 3 to 4. Personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
As noticed by the fact that I can't remember who Nick played.
Yeah, that's the issue, is that you have a limited amount of time and there's like only so much time you can spend on each person and like their individual things. And it's hard to get everyone involved. When you have a long campaign, you have more time to have like character episodes, but you can't do that in a one shot. So yeah. you need to be aware of what you're balancing, not just in your plot, but the number of players you have.
100%. So yeah. So keep that in mind. Once again, during all my planning, had some other ideas. What did I do? I balled them up and I'm waiting. So, because that's the thing.
Not now, one-offs, but soon.
One-offs can be connected. One-offs can be like years apart. My Mouse Guard games are all pretty far apart. My Marvel games are going to have been many years apart. So yeah. And feel free to play off of the, you know, shakier memory. Feel free to ask your players what they remember about the previous one shot. Feel free to make it loosely connected. In fact, you're probably going to have to make it semi-loosely connected. Make it have been years for any characters who carry over. Stuff like that. So, yeah. You got anything else, Steve?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Well, be sure to play what you love. And until next time, may your characters do something epic. Even if it's just, you know, one self-contained session.
I thought you were going to say... Even if it's only just once.
Ooh, brutal. No, true.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay if it's just one. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, interjections, queries, notes, formal challenges, or suppositions, please email us at roimperfection@gmail.com. That's roimperfection@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter at roimperfection, or Instagram search roimperfection. You can also visit our website at roimperfection.com. If you enjoyed our work, leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a great week, everybody.